I brought my righteousness with me today. Righteousness in a paper bag. Somewhere in this bag, I think there's my righteousness. So let's look for it. So the first thing that I see that is kind of too big for the bag, I'm really proud of this. It's a certificate from La Sierra University. See, there it is. The trustees of La Sierra University, on the recommendation of the faculty of the College of Arts and Sciences, award to Michael L. Leno the President's Award, Outstanding University Graduate Student. And it's signed by Randall Wisby and Ricardo Graham. So, pretty cool. You know, it reminds me that we often, when we get an award or we accomplish something, it's very common to say, "I'm so humbled." That's lying. I am not humbled by this. Okay? So, this is not my righteousness. Not mine. This brings back a lot of memories. Does anybody know what this is? Oh, somebody's old enough here to remember. This is a vacuum tube. Does anybody remember vacuum tubes? Now, this is a very special vacuum tube. I don't think it works, and I have no way of trying it out anyway, but I worked at the radio station at Walla Walla College. It's now called Walla Walla University. But back in those days, the radio station, KGTS, Arts and Information Radio, I used to work there. And this represents a time when we switched over from tubes to more solid state. This is the power, this is the tube from the power amplifier in the transmitter of that radio station. And somehow I got my hands on that and I've hung on to it ever since. Okay. That tube is cool, but it's not, doesn't make me righteous. It's not my righteousness. It's a good memory. It's, you know, represents a lot of hard and creative work, but it doesn't really count as my righteousness. Now, maybe this does. This is one of the first Bibles that I ever bought for myself. It's the New Testament and Psalms RSV version, and I got it because I wanted something small enough. This was, this was a long time ago, so, you know, we had not even heard of anything like cell phones or, you know, iPads or anything like that. And this was small enough to go everywhere. I could put it in my backpack when I went backpacking. I could do anything. Very, very wonderful. It's certainly the Bible would count as my righteousness, wouldn't it? I mean, I bought it myself. I read it. But no. That is, doesn't count. It's not my righteousness. Oh, I've got a medal. Now, I know it looks impressive, but it's a participation medal, and but it does represent the fact that I completed a 100-mile ride. Okay, so the San Diego Gran Fondo, I think technically it was only 96 miles, but who's counting? It's really cool. It kind of twirls, and it's so. This represents, I have to say, an accomplishment. At age 68, I completed a 100-mile bike ride. I have signed up for the very same ride this year in April, April 21, so I hope to bring back another medal for that. Righteousness? I mean, it is an accomplishment. It represents a lot of hard work, and I received many good things from that, including maybe a measure of health, but it doesn't count as righteousness. Oh, this is a recent purchase of mine. This is my action cam. Now, I got it because when I do that bike ride this year, I want to take a camera and put it on the front of my bike so I can prove to people that I actually did it. and I know this sounds pathetic, but probably the only person that's going to see it is me, and I'll be sitting in a room somewhere remembering the days I used to be able to do that. This is, for anybody who's curious, the Insta360 Ace Pro. I mean, it is the state-of-the-art action cam. It beats anything from DJI or GoPro or anything. I mean, it is the thing to have. It's even got a little flip-up screen. That little video that I showed at the beginning about Koinonia at the safari park, those shots where I'm walking along was taken with this camera on a selfie stick. So, this is great, and it represents maybe all the cameras that I have had, maybe all the technology that I've ever had. I love technology, and it enables so much. Creativity and preservation of memories, and doing something that is meaningful to me. Is it righteousness? No, it's not. So maybe righteousness doesn't exist in a paper bag. But there's one more item in here that I can absolutely guarantee you represents my righteousness. This is what you call a filthy rag. I use it to clean my bicycle chain and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's so bad that it's actually glued together in places. So, there it is. This is my righteousness. Isaiah bemoaned the state of Israel, of Judah, and of his own righteousness. And he said, given our sins, how then can we be saved? And he goes on in Isaiah 64:6 to say, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf. And like the wind, our sins sweep us away. I like these little trinkets. They remind me of, good times in my life and good times in the present. Will they save me? No. They won't. Awards. Medals, possessions, tools of the trade, even a Bible, does not make us any more or less loved and saved by God. Paul looked for another source of righteousness. And he went back to the example of Abraham. Abraham tried really hard to keep his faith in the promise that God had given him. But he figured God needed a little bit of help, and so he slept with a slave girl in order to have a son, an heir. And Paul uses that experience by Abraham to say in Romans 4:4-5, "Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation." In other words, if you work for pay, then you're doing it as an obligation. "However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness." Now keep your eyes on this text. Legalism is righteousness in a paper bag. Now read that text again. This statement by Paul is so revolutionary. Now, we've probably read it so many times, it doesn't affect us anymore, but please look at it carefully. If Pastor Tara got up and said this sort of thing as her own idea, she would be accused of heresy. I promise you. She might be condemned for letting people off too easy. How dare anyone say that you don't have to work, but just trust God? And how dare anyone say that God justifies the wicked? How can something called faith cause God to call the unrighteous righteous? Paul, you seem to have painted yourself into a corner. Not to worry, though. Paul could answer the objections of the legalists. After all, he was once a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew the old arguments about qualifying for heaven by doing your best and letting God make up the difference. He had been on the other side. He was one of those rabbis who argued that it wasn't what a person believed that counted, it was what they did. And he was one of those who argued that when God's people were good enough, the Messiah would come. And he watched people trying to be good enough stone Stephen to death. Folks, we live in perilous times. Do you realize that? We live in a time when those who take the name of Jesus and flaunt their allegiance to God and country are willing to commit violence against those they disagree with. I don't think human nature has changed one bit since the time of Paul, since the time of Jesus. Paul had seen his own legalism lead him into a blind fury at those who had faith in Jesus. And in his blindness, he met Jesus. on the road to Damascus. Romans 4, 20 to 22 says, "Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness." Now that word credit is very interesting. It's the Greek word elogisthe, and it means to take an inventory, to make an estimate, to conclude, to reckon, to determine. Who takes the inventory? I ask you. Who takes the inventory and draws the conclusion? It's not Abraham. It's not you and me counting up our trinkets in our paper bags. It's God. It's how God thinks. It's what God values. This is the result of God's evaluation. Abraham did not draw this conclusion. God did. And the conclusion? Abraham is righteous. Why? Not because he was perfect. His faith wasn't even perfect, mind you. Romans may say that Abraham never wavered, but that's not how the original account goes. Abraham lied twice to Pharaoh to save his own skin. He said his wife Sarah was only his sister, which was a half-truth. He slept with a servant girl named Hagar so he could have a son. He figured God wasn't going to fulfill his promise without some help. But Abraham was righteous in God's eyes. Why? Because in spite of all his ups and downs, in spite of those dark times and those weak moments when he lied to save himself, and in spite of his lack of faith, which led to having a son by Hagar, Abraham trusted God. He knew he couldn't trust himself, but he could trust God. You see, it's not the quality of our faith that saves us. It is the quality of God's promise. It is not how big my faith is that matters. It is how big God is that matters. Faith is not something you have like having a full gas tank or having a full bank account. Faith is realizing that God's fuel tank and bank account are sufficient for all who believe. Robert went to work every day in an office. Every day, he would pick up his lunch off the kitchen table and drive to work, sit at a desk all day, eat his lunch at his desk, and then come home in the evening. It was Molly's job. Molly was his 7-year-old daughter. It was Molly's job to hand him his brown paper lunch bag each morning. One morning, in addition to the usual lunch bag, Molly handed him a second brown paper bag. This one was worn and crinkled and held together with duct tape, staples, and paper clips. "Why two bags?" Robert asked. "The other is something else," Molly answered. "What's in it?" "Just stuff. Take it with you." Not wanting to waste any more time talking about it, Robert stuffed both sacks into his briefcase and headed off to work. At lunchtime, he scarfed down his real lunch and tore open Molly's bag and shook out the contents. Curiously, and with bewilderment, he found 2 hair ribbons, 3 small stones, a plastic dinosaur, a pencil stub, a tiny seashell, 2 animal crackers, a marble, a used lipstick, a small doll, 2 chocolate kisses, and 13 pennies. Robert smiled to himself and finished eating and swept the desk clean. Everything, leftover lunch, Molly's bag, everything he swept into the wastebasket by his desk. So that evening, Molly came up to him and said, "Where's my bag?" "What bag?" Robert said. "You know, the one I gave you this morning. I left it at my office. Why?" "I forgot to put this note in it," she said. And besides, those are my things in the sack. Daddy, the ones I really like. I thought you might like to play with them, but now I want them back." "You didn't lose the bag, did you, Daddy?" "Oh, no," Robert said, lying. "I just forgot to bring it home. I'll bring it tomorrow." Molly hugged her father's neck, and while she was doing that, he unfolded the little note that she had made for him, and it simply said, "I love you, Daddy." Molly had given him all her treasures. All that a 7-year-old held dear, love in a paper bag. And he missed it. Not only missed it, but he had thrown it in the wastebasket. So back he went to the office, just ahead of the night janitor. He picked up the wastebasket, poured the contents on his desk. And after washing the mustard off the dinosaurs and spraying the whole thing with breath freshener to kill the smell of mustard, he put the treasures back in the brown paper bag. And he carried it home gingerly. The bag didn't look so good, but the stuff was all there, and that's what counted. After dinner, he asked Molly to tell him about the stuff in the sack. It took a long time to tell. Everything had a story or a memory or was attached to dreams and imaginary friends. Fairies had brought some of the things. He had given her the chocolate kisses, and she had kept them for when she needed them. Robert said later, "I think of all the times in this sweet life when I must have missed the affection I was being given. It's like standing knee-deep in a river and dying of thirst." We should all remember that it's not the destination that counts in life, it's the journey, says Robert. The little girl smiled, the dinosaurs and chocolate kisses wrapped in old paper bags that we sometimes throw away too thoughtlessly each day. Each was a tiny treasure. But what really counted, the things in and of themselves, were not worth much to Robert. But he discovered that it was the love between him and his daughter that really counted. And somehow I think Jesus even values our paper bags because they represent us and he loves us. But it's not the paper bags that save us. It's the love of God. And if we trust that, our filthy rags will be real righteousness.